Thank you for standing by. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star followed by the number one to ask a question. I would now like to turn the call over to Susan with NOAA Communications. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Susan Buchanan with NOAA Communications, and I just have a few housekeeping announcements before we begin. You're here this morning to hear Dr. Jerry Bell of NOAA's Climate Prediction Center deliver NOAA's updated 2017 Atlantic hurricane season outlook. Dr. Bell and his team issued the initial outlook in May, and they updated in early August each year ahead of the peak of the season. A news release with infographics will be posted on NOAA.gov momentarily, so check there for that information. And following Dr. Bell's brief remarks, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If you have additional questions after the news conference, please contact me at susan.buchanan@noaa.gov or by phone at 301-427-9000. And now I would like to invite Dr. Bell to present the updated outlook.
Thank you, Susan, and thanks to everyone on the phone for joining this morning. The 2000 Atlantic hurricane season has started off strong with a total of six named storms to date. Today, our forecasters continue to monitor Franklin, which the National Hurricane Center predicts will make landfall in Mexico overnight as a hurricane. As Susan mentioned, we are now entering the historical peak months of the hurricane season, which are August through October. This three-month period is when the bulk, about 95% historically, of the hurricanes and major hurricanes occur. Therefore, we update the Atlantic hurricane season outlook every year in early August, to give the best prediction of what to expect for the remainder of the season. Now the updated outlook. Current and predicted atmospheric and oceanic conditions point to a high likelihood for an above-normal season, with the possibility now that the season could be extremely active. We're seeing signs that this could be the most active season since 2010. The likelihood of an above-normal season has increased to 60%, and that's up from 45% in our May forecast. The likelihood of a near-normal season has decreased to 30%, which is down from 35% in May. And there is now only about a 10% chance of a below-normal season, which is down from 20% in May. This updated outlook indicates the following likely ranges of activity, which are for the entire hurricane season, June through November. 14 to 19 named storms, of which we expect 5 to 9 to become hurricanes and 2 to 5 of those to become major hurricanes. These ranges include the 6 Atlantic named storms to date. So this updated outlook indicates the possibility of more named storms and more major hurricanes compared to the May outlook. In May, we had predicted 11 to 17 named storms and 2 to 4 major hurricanes. Our current prediction for 5 to 9 hurricanes is unchanged from May. Now, please remember that this outlook is a general guide to the overall seasonal activity. We do not make landfall predictions in this outlook. And this is, the reason is quite simple. This is because hurricane landfalls are determined by the weather patterns that are in place as the storm approaches. And those weather patterns just are generally not predictable more than about 5 to 7 days in advance. NOAA's hurricane outlooks have a firm scientific foundation, and that includes a rigorous analysis of how oceanic and atmospheric conditions are set up to influence storm development, and also how these conditions are likely to evolve through the season. Five factors currently point to a high likelihood of an above-normal season, and I'll mention these five. First, the wind patterns that are conducive to storm development are now in place across the tropical Atlantic. These conditions include weaker vertical wind shear, weaker trade winds, and the easterly wind patterns coming off the west coast of Africa. Second, water temperatures in the tropical Atlantic are now much warmer than average, about 1 to 2 degrees Fahrenheit above average, and there is high confidence that this warmth will persist. Third, the chance of El Nino forming has dropped significantly since May. An El Nino would have helped to suppress the Atlantic storm development, typically by strengthening the vertical wind shear. Fourth, all the available prediction models currently predict a more active season than they did in May. And fifth, the early season activity in the deep tropics, in the tropical Atlantic, as we've seen this year, point to a more active season as well. Now, the hurricane season outlook is not only about the numbers, it's also about preparedness. I'd like to acknowledge the 25th anniversary of Hurricane Andrew, which was the last Category 5 hurricane to strike the U.S., and also to acknowledge the fifth anniversary of Sandy. These storms are a reminder to be prepared for a tropical storm or hurricane strike each and every hurricane season, regardless of the overall predicted activity for that season. We advise everyone in hurricane-prone areas to stay abreast of news and information from NOAA throughout the hurricane season, which ends November 30th. You need to know your risk, have a plan, and be prepared. And ready.gov is a great place, ready.gov, a great place for people to learn how to prepare for storm threats based on their personal situation and also on the specific ways that storms might affect them. And now I'll be happy to answer your questions about today's outlook.
Thank you. At this time, if you do have any questions or comments, please press star 1. Again, that is star 1 for any questions. Brian Sullivan from Bloomberg News, you may go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bell, for doing this. If you could you just tell us a little more about, you know, the Atlantic and the current conditions out there? I know you ticked off five points that point to a more active season, but how is this year different, say, from last year? And also, you know, I know there had been some talk of the Atlantic AMO shifting into a cooler phase. Does this kind of reverse that thinking, or is this just a bump on the road here?
All right. The first question, the conducive conditions over the Atlantic, the tropical Atlantic and Caribbean Sea now, are typical of other active seasons we've seen in the past. We saw similar conditions last year. Last year was also an above normal season. So, all the factors that I mentioned, quite frankly, are typical of an active season. What's a little bit different now is that these conducive conditions are now in place. We had expected them to develop as the season went on, which is why our May forecast indicated an active season. They are now in place, and the models are predicting them to continue. So there's high confidence that these conducive conditions will persist, and this set of conditions typically produces an active season. So that's why there's a higher confidence for an above-normal season.
Yep.
Now, the AMO, so people may not be familiar with that, refers to the Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation, AMO. And this is a very strong climate pattern that typically lasts in its two phases, a warm phase and a cold phase. That means warmer Atlantic and colder Atlantic. These phases typically last anywhere from 25 to 40 years historically, and they produce, therefore, 25 to 40-year periods of increased activity when the Atlantic is warm or decreased hurricane activity when the Atlantic is cold. Now, we've been in since 1995. We've been seeing a lot of active hurricane seasons in the Atlantic. That's been associated with this warm phase of the Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation. Now, over the last couple of years, not counting last year, in 2013 through 15, we had quite a bit reduced activity in the tropical Atlantic, and there was some indication that maybe we're getting out of this warm phase of the AMO and therefore not seeing consecutive very active seasons. Well, it turns out it's not clear if we're getting out of this warm phase of the AMO or not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Met indices that we use to measure, or measures of the AMO, are pointing to different things. One common measure is saying we're still in the warm phase. Another is saying we've been more variable, but not clear if we've shifted to the cold phase. Certainly, the ongoing warm Atlantic that we're seeing again this year is consistent with the ongoing warm phase of the AMO. I think did I answer? You had several questions there.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I wanted to know. I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Henry Fountain with the New York Times. You may go ahead.
Hi. Can you just, the five factors you mentioned, can you flesh out the last two, the deep tropic stuff, just to explain it a little bit more?
Sure. The early season, typically we see 1 to 2 named storms during June and July. Typically those storms will form from frontal boundaries, from mid-latitude weather systems just moving across, and you can get a storm form. That's really not a predictor for what the remainder of the season may bring. The bulk of the hurricane activity forms during August, September, October in the area between Africa and the Yucatan Peninsula, between the tropical, it includes the tropical Atlantic and Caribbean Sea. That is the region that if you're going to have an active season, that's where conditions are going to be conducive. So this year, for instance, the conditions are very conducive in that region, and that's the area that storms need to form if you're going to have an active season. If the season is suppressed, there won't conditions in this tropical Atlantic and Caribbean Sea will be not conducive, and you'll see very little activity. So what we've seen this season so far is three named storms have formed in this tropical Atlantic Caribbean Sea region, and that reflects that conditions are already setting up to produce a lot of activity. So that's why the early season activity in the tropical Atlantic is an important predictor rather than just saying early season activity, period.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andrea Thompson from Climate Central. You may go ahead.
Hi, yes. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the verification of your seasonal forecasts and how they've kind of performed in recent years.
Sure. We issue our prediction ranges. When we say likely ranges, mathematically that reflects a 70% probability of occurrence. So that means when our ranges, we would, in terms of verification, we expect each of the predicted ranges to verify in about 7 of 10 times. And they do. Since the climate models, the climate forecast system, and other sophisticated climate models, they've developed tremendously over the decades. But we've just since 2008, 2009, have been able to bring them to bear on the seasonal hurricane prediction problem. And since that time, both our August and May outlooks for all the ranges are verifying, as we would expect, about 70% of the time.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star 1. Samantha Maurer from WXIA in Atlanta, you may go ahead.
Hi there. I was interested in the graphics that go along with this. Where can we find those? That's my first part of the question. And my second is, you mentioned that the sea surface temperature is running about 1 to 2 degrees Fahrenheit above average. Is that all across from the Gulf into the Caribbean and all across the Atlantic?
So this is Susan. I'll take the first question. So the news release is up right now live on NOAA.gov. It's the big headline right at the top of the page, and we have a couple of infographics there that you can pull down to use.
Okay.
And the question about the Atlantic, right now the waters are about 1 to 2 degrees Fahrenheit above average across almost the entire tropical Atlantic and also into the Caribbean Sea. These aren't the warmest temperatures on record, but they're certainly sufficient to favor a more active season.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anthony Wood with the Philadelphia Inquirer. You may go ahead.
Jerry, you answered my question already about the AMO. One other thing, I assume at least I infer that the Saharan air layer has not been a factor and is not a factor and not expected to be the rest of the season, correct?
Yeah, we really don't. We don't think of the Saharan air as a layer. Let me just back up. What he's referring to is a lot of in some times you can get a lot of very, very dry air coming off the Sahara Desert into the tropical Atlantic. And when sometimes that can get ingested into a developing tropical cloud system or tropical storm and help to keep it weak or not allow it to develop. We don't generally think of that those Atlantic air, Saharan air outbreaks as affecting the season as a whole. Rather, they're really specific to individual storms, and they're not really a predictor for the strength of the hurricane season. Typically, when you have a more active season, like we're expecting this year, the amount of dry air coming off the Sahara is, let me say this again, the southward penetration of dry air from the Sahara into the tropical Atlantic tends to be quite reduced. And instead, you have a lot more deep tropical moisture, more unstable air that comes up from the equatorial region. So it's that warm, moist air with weaker trade winds that really helps. That's more of the key player in predicting the active season.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Efren Affronte, you may ask your question from WLTX News 19, Columbia, South Carolina.
Thank you, Susan. And Dr. Bell, thank you very much for taking the time and answering the questions after the conference. Samantha Moorhead already mentioned that we've already seen elevated SSTs along the Atlantic coastline as well as in the Caribbean. What factor do we have right now with model guidance that suggests there is going to be an elevated activity in the Atlantic or more so in the Gulf of Mexico as we get into the height of the season, especially into the latter half of August and the beginning of September?
Again, we don't predict with this outlook where storms are going to strike or exactly where they're going to track. So there's no way to say at this time whether storms are going to track closer to the Atlantic coast or move through the Caribbean into the Gulf of Mexico, how many or how strong they'll be. That's just not the ability of we just don't have that capability. However, typically when you have more active seasons, as I had mentioned, you have more storms forming in that tropical Atlantic region. And so and that's important because those are the storms that typically track further westward and are also over involve more conducive conditions over a longer period of time, so they can more easily develop into hurricanes and major hurricanes. Now, because they're tracking further westward, that means there's an increased threat that they can get through the Caribbean and into the Gulf. And also it means there's an increased threat for really both our coastlines, both the Atlantic and Gulf Coast. And that's why typically we see more hurricane landfalls with more active seasons. But those tracks are not really determined by the ocean temperatures right along the Atlantic or Gulf Coast. They're really controlled by the weather patterns, much larger scale weather patterns that are in place as the storm's approaching.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bell, and thank you, Susan.
Thank you. Once again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Patricia Kitchen, you may ask your question from Newsday in New York. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes, thank you so very much. I'm hoping you can help me explain something in a story here. Very often commenters will write on, you know, the bottom of stories, oh, how can they tell what's going to happen for a whole hurricane season when we don't even know for sure if there's going to be like a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Could you just kind of briefly explain how this process is different that you're doing than forecasting like more immediate weather in the coming 5 to 7 days?
Sure. It's a totally different process. In the seasonal outlooks, we're not trying to predict a specific storm, when it will form, where it will form, things like that. Mm-hmm. Let me just back up. Mm-hmm. It turns out that there's a couple of dominant climate factors that really control the conditions, atmospheric and oceanic conditions across the tropical Atlantic and Caribbean Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And by monitoring, studying, and predicting those climate patterns, we can often then predict what the overall wind conditions will be like, such as this year, weaker wind shear, weaker trade winds, more conducive easterly wind patterns coming off of Africa that typically will allow more of these cloud systems that come off of Africa to strengthen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really by predicting those climate patterns that we can often say something intelligent about the overall strength of the hurricane season.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, I am showing no further questions. I would now like to turn the call back over to Susan for any closing comments. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Michelle. So this will conclude our press briefing. You can find the news release on NOAA.gov or call us with any additional questions at 301-427-9000. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. And this concludes today's conference call. You may go ahead and disconnect at this time.